Amen. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to preach what I was going to preach last Sunday that I didn't preach last Sunday, so I'm going to preach this Sunday. So if you got all that down, we're in good shape. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I want you to listen very carefully to what I got to say. What are your motives for ministry in 2020? What are your motives for ministry in 2020? Now, we've just started out a new year. Last Sunday was the 5th, first Sunday of 2020. Today is the 12th. It's the second Sunday. Before long, it'll be 2021 if we live to see it. Amen? But what are you going to do this year, 2020? There you go. Spread the word. Amen. What we believe and how we believe must always go together. And I say that because Paul himself usually connected duty and doctrine together. Okay? Because what God has done for us must motivate us to do something for God. The question is, how motivated are you to serve the Lord today? You say, well, preacher, I'm getting old. I can't do but so much nowadays. I can't get up and do like I used to do. Well, let me tell you something. None of us can. Amen? I read an interesting little thing the other day. A man says, you have to remember one thing. You know in your car, you got this little light that comes on? It says, check engine soon. Everybody got one? How many of y'all cover those up and don't pay any attention to them? Okay, yeah, right. Well, the man said this. He said, it's great when you're in your 20s. He said, it's great when you're in your 30s and 40s. But he said, after you pass 50, the check engine light comes on. You've got to take care of it. Amen? Isn't that true? Always something goes. I don't care what it is. There's always a problem that comes. Well, see, we today think of ourselves, and we get to a certain age that we just quit, you know? But God's work never ends. You understand? Never ends. It's always a moving process. Every day is something about Jesus that you should be doing. Something for him every day. Are we motivated and moving ahead for the Lord every day? The fact is, a lot of times we're not. It's because so many things come about that hinder us from moving ahead for the Lord. Well, Paul said it very plainly. He says, we are to reconcile ourselves to God every day. We are to lift him up every single day. And even 2 Corinthians 5:11 and 20, it tells us very plainly about this love of God. Let me read you something very quickly. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. In other words, that word terror means this, that I serve an awesome God. That's what we sang this morning. And I do serve an awesome God. It's able to get me through any difficulty of life, no matter what stress may come, what factors may come. He's always able to move me ahead in life. 1 Thessalonians tells us that we are to what? To take time to approach him and to sit down and learn more and more about him every day. Yeah, we study a lot in church, and we hear his word on Wednesday. We hear his word on Sunday morning, on Sunday night. We study a lot of God's word. But the question is this, how much of it do you really take to heart when you hear it? You see, we listen. The problem is this. It's like talking to a kid. It goes in this ear, it goes out this ear, and then it ricochets around the room and it's gone. That's how we listen today. God tells us that we are to follow his example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I follow the example because what does it do? By following his example, he says, I am motivated by the love of Jesus. He says, I'm motivated by the cross of Christ. I'm motivated because he rose from the grave. I'm motivated because he sits on the right hand of God the Father. I am motivated because he is coming again, and I get motivated to know I'm going home to be with him one day. Amen. Yeah, that should give us the uplift of what we need in Jesus Christ. So you're going to see this morning that we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord, and we're going to talk about several other things. But first of all, I want you to catch what the writer says here about building ourselves an eternal home in heaven and living our lives to the fullest God has given to us. Let's stand together in reverence and read them God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 9. He said, wherefore, and you always wonder what it's there for, read everything before it. He said, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. Now, hear that word, accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, he says. Now, most of us say we're good, but sometimes we're not always as good as we think we are. Now, look at the next verse. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, talking about that awesome God. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves against you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in the appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then, he said, we're all dead. That we, he said, that he died for all, that, now listen very carefully, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the risen Savior, for the awesomeness of his love on that cross of Calvary, to seeing how motivated he was to go. And even during his difficult times, he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. May today be a day that we listen, that we learn, and if we need Christ in our life, if anybody here doesn't have a personal relationship, today will be the day they come to know him as Lord and Savior. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. The fear of the Lord. As I just said in that one verse, in verse 11, I'll captivate it just a minute. I know we fear a lot of things in life. He talks about in verse 11 about the terror of the Lord. And he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we were made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience, he talks about. You see, the kind of attitude that he had here is often lacking in ministry. And the attitude is to say that I serve an awesome, awesome God. To be motivated to tell other people. When people talk down about Christ around you, or talk down about the Lord around you, you ever look at him and say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but my God is an awesome God. And I serve him every single day. And I pray that your heart would be changed in some way where you would also come to know him as your Lord and Savior. A man by the name of G.F. Westcott wrote these words. He said, every year makes me tremble at the daring with which people speak of spiritual things. And he said that because people don't know how to speak of spiritual things. It becomes less and less and less. We talk about the Holy Spirit of God. We talk about how the Holy Spirit indwells you and I as Christians, how he lives in us. At Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Spirit came upon the individuals as cloven tongues of fire from heaven and said they started to speak in the dialects of that day, and it said thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. 3,000 souls in one day. When's the last time you heard of 3,000 souls getting saved in one day? You're lucky to hear of anybody getting saved in a year, amen. And that's how life is today, because God, the awesome God we serve, is not being proclaimed to a sin-sick, lost world that we live in. See, we need to be more motivated today than we have ever been in our lives. And we need to preach Jesus Christ, to teach Jesus Christ over and over again. Philip Brooks wrote these words. He said he warned about clerical, what he called jesters. In other words, who's jesting about the Bible. He said, rob the inspired, he said, book of some of its glory that it had. In other words, we don't talk about God's glory. We don't talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when you start talking about it, people get upset because they don't want to hear it. I was preaching one time, and I talked about, you know, I was preaching, and I talked about the Holy Ghost, right? And I remember a lady came up to me, and she said, and the scripture was talking about the Holy Ghost. It said, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And I was reading it that way. And she got through, and she said, there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. I said, where have you been all your life? Because the same is same old, same old. The Holy Spirit is still the Holy Ghost, you know? And she didn't understand that until we sat down and went through the scriptures to talk about it. The Spirit of God is a Holy Spirit that embodies us today. There is an absence of the relationship. There is an absence of reverence to God and who he is. Why do you think children today don't listen like they're supposed to? Why is that? Because there is no reverence to the family, to the parents, to those of authority. They don't reverence anybody. They just want to do their thing their own way, and they're not concerned about what happens in the end. My question to you is this. Aren't you concerned what's going to happen when you die? Well, I'm glad one is. That's good. Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned where your next step is going to be? You know, because when you die, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, the Bible says, and it's an automatic thing. You're going to leave here and you're going to, what, abode somewhere else. But it depends on what Christ has done in your life, whether you have him in your life or not have him in your life. You know, heaven and hell are real, my friend. Don't ever think there's anything in between. People preach on purgatory. There's no such animal as purgatory. There's no such animal as something in between, a holding place or anything else. When you die, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. That's bottom line. There's nothing in between. And guess what? You're not coming back to make a reprieve. You're not going to get a second chance. God gives you the chance while you're here, and you need to take it nowadays while it's here. You need to step out on that faith and believe what Christ has done for you. We're going back into chapters for just a few minutes and looking at verse 9. Look what he said. He said, we labor. And I like that word labor because he said this. He said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That word accepted means this. It means well-pleasing. Now, are you well-pleasing to the Lord? I can work on that situation because I know I'm a long ways from it. Even as a minister, you have a tendency not to be as well-pleasing as you think you are. We try to live that holy and acceptable life we talked about last week in Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? That we are to live our lives, which I beseech you therefore, brethren. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you looked at yourself and looked in the mirror and said, Lord, am I as reverent as I should be? Am I as holy as I should be? Am I doing what I should do? And have I been really accepted by you? Well, do. See, when you start talking about those things, it changes the whole picture and output of what you look like in your life today. Where are we today? Where are you today? How much of Jesus do you want? That's a good question. How much of Jesus do you want? You want all of him? A little bit of him? You want a third of him? Two-thirds of him? A quarter of him? What do you want? Or just none of him? My friend, the Bible says you should want all of him. All to him I owe. That's what it talks about. We sing the songs, right? We sing them over and over and over again. We sing, I surrender all. Do you really surrender all of you? Just mouth a bunch of words because it sounds pretty. Let me tell you what. If you're going to surrender all, that means one thing. You're on your face before God daily, and you're seeking God daily in prayer and having him change your life to be a better person. Now, Paul said it very plainly here. He said, look, he said, we labor. Yeah, we labor, all right, but how much labor do we do? The Judaizers, they labor. The Judaizers ministered. They tried to get those people to follow the laws of that day. They tried to get them caught up in the picture of that day. And all of a sudden, when Paul comes along after Jesus died, he says, wait a minute. He says, to live that way anymore. He said, you were under the law here, but Jesus brought grace. He said, your life has changed, and now you're to live by God's grace, being faithful and true to him, it says, and to build that foundation. He also said this, that we as individuals are to be lifted up daily. And when we live so that, you know, people see Christ in us, that's what it's all about, seeing Christ in you. You know, when you walk into a church on Sunday morning, you look around, you see all the prune faces, you wonder what happened. Huh? Where's joy today in church? Where's the joy? Huh? Anybody? Where's joy? Huh? Happiness. Okay, good. Okay, where's your joy at this morning? Huh? I left at home. I was in bed. And I didn't want to get up. That's where my joy was at, sleeping down. Where's your joy going to be this afternoon? NFL. Billy and I talk about it all the time. Nap following lunch. That's going to be joy. Amen. Isn't that true? Where's your joy today in Christ? Where is the relationship in Christ where you can say, I am manifested in the joy of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, hope of a better day, a better beginning, and a new day tomorrow. If I live to see tomorrow, I can start all over again and say, joy, 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 there's joy down in my soul. I can say that. Why? Because God has given me another day to react to what? To the word he has given to me. Now, when you think about being well-pleasing to the Lord, being accepted of God, think about it this way. He called you. He touched you. He moved you. You accepted the call that he had for you. And then all of a sudden, when we get that call to accept him as our Lord and Savior, the first thing we do is we get right to that point. And once we're saved, we sit in the pew on Sunday and sing that song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Amen. That's what we do. Why? Because we don't know what to do after we get saved. I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to read God's word. You're to pray to see what God would have you to do. What positions in church he would like you to fill. who you need to witness to, who you need to talk to, putting somebody before you day after day after day that you can tell about Jesus Christ. This is what the Christian life is all about. The problem is we don't know what to say when somebody comes before us. It'd be like me talking to Mike. You know, Mike saved, knows Jesus Christ, Lord saved. Let's say he's on the street and he's lost and doesn't have Jesus in his life. And I was going to him and say, how are you today? And he'll look at me, I'm doing really good. You know? I said, man, I got some good news for you. He'll look at me, what's that? I said, Jesus loves you. Just I know for the Bible. Says. He's either going to tell me to get lost, hit the road, or something else. But you know, the first thing I'll tell him is when I leave is what the preacher told me. That's fine. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. The Lord will take care of you. And walk on off. I don't have to say anything else. You know why? His mind's already thinking about what I just said. He's already thinking about it. He may be the meanest thing in the earth, right? But all of a sudden, his whole mind just said it's changed. Why? Because I said, I love you and I'm going to pray for you. Jesus loves you. Move on. You don't have to say anything else. You will be surprised how many people do that when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ. Then you'll have those ones that you start talking to and you'd say, you know, God loves you so much. And then all of a sudden, they just break down. I need something to help me. And you hear that. There's a man that was on a plane. He could get on a plane to travel. I started a new book on prayer yesterday, 21 Days of Prayer. And the guy got on a plane, and he was a businessman. He was a Christian. He was a strong Christian. He got on a plane to fly. And he said, Lord, he said, put somebody in my path today that I can talk to about Jesus. And I thought this was pretty good. He got on the plane. There was one man sitting in the back of the plane, him and a stewardess. That was it. And the people flying the plane. He said, my goodness. He said, that man in the back must be the one God wants me to talk to today, you know. So the stewards come up to him, you know, and they offer you coffee and all kind of stuff, right? And he got to talking to her. And he's got his mind set on the dude back there. But guess who the one he was supposed to talk to? It was a stewardess. Yeah. She started talking to her about Jesus. And she just fell apart. God put him in the right place at the right time with the right individual. But what amazed me was how there was nobody on the plane but two people. That's what surprised me. And how God used that time where he could speak to that individual. And she went back and said, yes, I have fallen away. My life is not what it used to be. I used to go to church. I used to do this and I used to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you begin from that day forward. You see what God can do if you really want to get out there? Do something. That's why we'll do things that are well-pleasing unto the Lord, to live our lives according to his way, not my way or your way. You see, if we do those things, what will he do? He will help us to move ahead in life. In other words, he will work out that perfect will for each and every one of us if we depend on him as we should live our lives today. In other words, Paul said this. He was ambitious about what he did. Look what he said in verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must what? We must all appear, oh, I like this part, before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you what. If you don't have Christ in your life, you don't want to have to appear before him at the great white throne judgment. But that's the one that's going to do you in. That's the one where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And Paul said right here, he said, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or what. I'm a good person, Lord. I can't go to hell. You can't send me that. I've been a good person all my life. And when he looks at you and says, well, what did you do for Christ? And you say, nothing. That goes your story. That goes your story. What do you have? You have nothing. And you'll have nothing. But eternity in hell, the Bible says. Because you have rejected him. You turned away from him. Paul says, look, he says, man, he's telling his church very plainly. He said, you may think that you're the greatest people in the world, but let me tell you what, you have a problem without Christ. Every one of you sitting here today, if you don't have Christ in your life and living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a big, big problem. You have a big problem. And you need to take care of the problem. Well, preacher, I don't like to hear that kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you a question here. If I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? Huh? You're not going to read it. You're not going to open the book up and look at it because you don't want to see it. If I don't read it, I don't understand it, you know, then I don't have to do it. Let me tell you what. Whether you read it or not, I'm going to tell you, if you don't have Jesus, you die and go to hell. Amen. cut and dry. Is that plain? Simple? Not hard to understand. By faith, it says, that you believe on him. Judgment seat. Oh, my goodness, judgment seat. You ever think about the judgment seat of Christ? You call it the Bema seat of Christ? You know, that's for the Christian. Amen. You're going to stand before the Lord one day. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just very briefly. You know where it's at. Just keep on going toward the end of the book. You'll find it. Okay. Paul had this thing about him. I read this a couple of months ago in a funeral service, and it just captivated me about Paul's life in the end. Now, Paul, here he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now he's a Christian, born again believer. He's excited about Jesus. Then all of a sudden, he's talking to young Timothy. And he told Timothy in chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few verses here. He said, I charge thee before, he said, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1. That who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? He said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, he says. I learned that first in ministry. You got to learn when you go somewhere and somebody says, are you ready to preach? You got to be ready, instant in season, out of season. I live down in Mississippi. If y'all ever been down inside the Bible Belt, of the United States, if you walk into church on a Sunday night as a minister, and sometimes I would, we'd have maybe not a service on a Sunday night or something. And I'd go to another church on a Sunday night, walk into church, the first thing the preacher would say, hey, Reverend Schools. I said, yeah. I said, will you preach tonight? I learned real quick to be ready. Didn't make any difference. Or being a meeting, somebody asked you to do a devotion. Reverend Schools, if you come here and do a devotion for us right now, and you've been sitting in 1,500 people sitting there, and you wondering yourself, Lord, what am I going to do? Give it to me now. You ever done that? That's an interesting time to be in. That's why he says, be instant in season, out of season. Why does he say that? Because he wants all of us to be ready to what? Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ at any time. That it's made available to somebody. But you're that person that can tell about Jesus Christ. Now look right down to verse 6 and 7. Look what he said. He said, for I know I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. He says, and what else? And I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, can you say that when you die? You think you're going to be able to say what Paul said? You need to take these words to heart. You can go home and read them again today. He could have stopped there and not said anything else. But then Paul said this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, he said, the righteous judge shall give me at the day, not to me only. Now, catch this. But unto all them also that love his appearance. Amen. Now, loving his appearance. What kind of crown were you building up in heaven? What are you doing that when you get there before God and he says, enter thou good and faithful servant, and you've got all these crowns before you, what are you going to do with them? Don't need them. You can have them. You can keep them, Lord. My most concern is this, that he looks at me and he says, enter thou good and faithful servant into the joy of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to be happy. I may do a little two-step going in. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's one happy moment and one happy person that I'm going to be. Because I know where I'm going to be with the Lord one day. I know that. But until that day, I am to rejoice in the Lord while I'm here. To be accepted of him for what I do and the things that I do. Now look down here with me to chapter 5 again and look at verse number 11 again. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience, he says. Now, you can talk to people all day long. And the third thing is this I want to talk about is this. We persuade people, right? How do you persuade somebody to do something? Threaten them, right? They used to be the way you don't do that. This is what's going to happen to you. It'd be like, man, I'm going to use you for an example again. You don't mind, do you? You ain't here much, so I'm going to get you anyway. Why are you here? This guy works all the time, I think, But he just got home and I'm late at home. But it'd be like me walking up to you and you're on the street corner again with me, right? I'm walking down the street and I'm whistling happy, Dixieland or whatever, Jesus loves me. And all of a sudden I come by to you and I said, guess what, man? And you say, what? Jesus loves you and he loves me too. And if you don't accept it, you're going to die and go straight to hell tomorrow. Amen. And walk on. What have I just done? I just turned that switch, boy. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear about the love of God. Say, you can't do that to people. I remember a preacher I was up with one time. He said he had an aunt in his church, right? His aunt was in the church, and said she was. You people came in church on Sunday. First thing she would do, she'd walk up to them, you know, doing the invitation. She says, "Come on, you need Jesus," and pull them out the aisle and bring them down front. You know, if I did that to y'all, I'd be here by myself today. Amen. Sure. You got to have God catch hold of you, drag you down here. I don't do that, but people like to do that. You can't do that. You have to be able to persuade them by how, by the way you act. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated, and you can get a whole lot further than trying to just say, you know, you're going to die and go straight to hell. The awesomeness of God, the awesomeness of what he wants us to do. Look what he said in verse 12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give for occasion your case of glory on your what? On our behalf, that we may have something to answer them, which glory in the appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it should be what? For your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because he thus judged that if one died for all, the man says what? Then we're all dead. In other words, he said he died for all of us. One man died one death for all mankind. So it goes back. You ever watch Waters World? You watch Waters World? You ever see Waters? Abby does, he says, I'm Waters, and this is my world. Guess what? This is Jesus. This is Jesus' world. I don't care what he says. This is all belongs to the Lord. Doesn't none belong to him or me or you. All belongs to Jesus. We are to all belong to Jesus, because we're part of the relationship that he builds with us. And Paul said it. He said, look, he said, don't pressure people. Talk in the right manner. Do what God asks of you. Christ commanded us to what? To spread the gospel to all nations. I think if you go back to Matthew, you study that chapter 28, 19 and 20, which says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which have I commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, he said. He said, that's what I command you to do. And why did he say that? Because he said in verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, if Jesus Christ lives in you as the Holy Spirit, where does your power come from? Him, the Spirit. We don't tap into it like we should. They've been wondering why we're weak, why we're not strong, why we stumble all the time, because we don't have Christ living in us like we say we do. You know, just because the Spirit lives in you doesn't mean you're tapping into the power source to make it stronger than what it is. Say, I want a little bit of Jesus today. Don't want a whole lot, you know. Don't want a whole lot, just a little teeny bit, get in the grind. That's all I need. And if I only got a little bit, I don't have to do a whole lot. Isn't that true? Amen? Sure. So you want to have all of him today. Stand before him one day. You're going to do that, and that occasion's going to come. Now, and he says this, that verse here relates to, Paul referred to the letter of what he called condemnation that the Judaizers praised. Now, the Judaizers are interesting. If you ever study history, you go back in the Bible and study the Judaizers and the Pharisees and all the rest of these people they call them, you know. And you look at them, right? Man, they were something else. They would come out into the street, bold, stand before the people, act like they were God themselves, what they did. They would have their commendations of what we've done. These are the things that we've done in the name of our Lord. These are the things that we're going to do in the name of our Lord. They would go on and on and on all day long. And by the end of the day, they've done absolutely nothing for the Lord. It was all done for self, for their image of who they were, instead of living for Jesus Christ. If you're going to live for Christ, you're not going to get out there and throw your accolades before the people. You're going to be a humble servant. And that's what people need to see more of in the church, a humble servant of Jesus Christ. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord so he will lift us up. The last time you really got humble before the Lord, really broke down and cried and asked God to help you, to deliver you from something that you're going through that you just can't control. See, when we get into trouble, the first thing we want to do is just quit. Never give up. Remember, God is always for you. He's not against you. He wants to hear from you day after day after day. Whether it's something good, bad, he wants to hear from you. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for another day. I love you, and I thank you for loving me and watching over me and protecting me through the night, you know. May this be a great day that I can meet somebody and tell them about Jesus. I mean, when's the last time we've done that? That's what our daily calling is. I don't care where you work at. You got people you work for, I know, that need Jesus. Amen. Huh? Y'all work with some heathens out there, don't you? Huh? How do they look at you? You fit right into the crowd and they look at you the same way? That's a heathen too. And on Sunday you act like a Christian. I mean, where are you at right now? See, we don't like to hear those things. But let me tell you what the Bible teaches us. That we have to look within and examine ourselves. God's already examined you. He knows where you are. He knows what your life is all about. He's already looked at you. And he knows what's in here. And he knows when you speak what's going to come out of here. And sometimes it's not the good things of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was asking you how many used profanity last week. I have a lot of hands. Don't raise your hand. I won't embarrass anybody. The fact is, if you can't say something good, don't say anything. Because as a Christian, what should come from us are the good things of Jesus Christ. Not the filth and the sin-sick world that we live in. Because we're living in a cesspool today that is running rapid in the world. And Paul said, this man, this Christ, died for us. He died for all. And we are to live our lives according to his way and not our way. Look what he says about a new creature in Christ. He talks about this because he wants us to understand where we are today. Look at verse number 17. And look what he said. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's the same old person. Is that what that says? What does it say? A new creature. How come people act the same old way? Because they are not a new creature, because they are not what they say they are. Really, preacher? That's true. We put on a facade that looks good. You know? It used to be like when you say you put lipstick on a pig, you know, you still got still a pig, right? Huh? You can whitewash yourself, make yourself look pretty and come to church and still call yourself a Christian and still be lost. Let me tell you why. Because the love of Christ doesn't dwell in you. That's what he said here. He said, if you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away, behold what? All, A-L-L, that little teeny word, all things become new, brand new. You're clean. You're not the same. If you're still living the same way after you say you're not, then you've got a problem because you don't have Christ in your life. Because a new creature is not the same. You're not the same. You're not the same today. You won't be the same tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what, you ought to be glad you're not the same as you were yesterday because you have changed. A new person. And all things are of God who hath what reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. He has reconciled us unto him. That's a great feeling to know. That he has done this for me. That's what you call in verses 14 through 17. It's called the love of Christ. What it's called? The love of Christ. Sacrificial death for you and me that we can have a new life and a new beginning. You see, Jesus loves me. You believe that? This I know. You know the song? Or the Bible tells us so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. You remember when you were a little one and sang that? You still ain't too old to sing. Okay. But we still have little children. Think about it for just a minute. You are his children. The sheep of his pasture. He is the one that leads us. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that feeds us on the spiritual word that he's given to us through those that proclaim it. And when you read it and proclaim it, what God has done for you, what a beautiful picture of life that is, the things he's done for you. Then he said in verse 19 through 21, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, he said unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed, it says, unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I've said this, and I'm going to say it again. I want you to catch this. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he accepted your sin on that cross. In other words, he's saying this. My sins as a Christian, when I accepted Christ, my sins have been imputed into him. He has taken my sin upon his person, as we know it. And his righteousness has been put into him. You understand that? My sin is his sin. His righteousness is my righteousness. And I'm a new creature in Christ. Boy, how plain is that? Is that simple? Huh? That's something we need to understand. That's God's word to us. I'm a new creature. His righteousness is in me. And I should live as that righteous Christian that I should be, living to my fullest potential that God has given to me. Now, verse 20, look what he said. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, you know what an ambassador is, don't you? It's a representative of a country or nation or whatever. Okay, we know that. Now, if you're an ambassador with Jesus Christ, look who you're representing. God Almighty. You are his ambassadors, okay? Every one of us in here are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be an ambassador to some foreign country. You know why? Because you are ambassador to the God that created all of it. That's why we are to what? Share the message and be the ambassador that God wants us to be. Reconciling others unto Christ. How much he loved them, how much he gave to them, and why he died. See, we're reconciled to him. Verse 21, verse 20, 21 says this. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteous of God in himself. I'm righteous in the sight of God because of what Christ did for me. So you see where you are this morning? Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now? That's my question to you. Have you reconciled yourself unto him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins, my failures, and shortcomings. Help me. Have you done those things? If not, my friends, I pray today that you will take time to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ and to get your life turned around. You know, we think to ourselves sometimes, and my goodness, you know, says, that's all we ever hear is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What else is in the Bible? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Salvation. He gives us all these different stories for one reason and one purpose. But he did the right way and not the wrong way. See? What he's saying in that one verse, whether good or bad, you're all going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and he will be your judge. And you'll say, judge not, lest he be judged. Let me do what? He's going to judge you whether you like it or not. And you don't have one recourse to say anything. You're not going to have beside you some fancy high-priced lawyer standing there saying, yeah, but you know, Lord, nothing going to happen. You know who's going to be standing over on the sideline? Satan. Wait. And every time that Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to be standing up going, guess what? You can't run, you can't hide, you can't disappear. But when the Lord looks at you and he opens that book up, and you say to yourself, where is it at? You better hope and pray. I believe God's got a sense of humor. What do you think, Jeff? You think God's got a sense of humor? You think God's got a sense of humor? I do. He's going to look down at the book and he's going to go, I don't see your name there. You're going to stand there and stumble in your shoes. All of a sudden, oh, I missed it right there. You know, and he's going to wonder what happened, right? That's what it's going to be like. What's the Lord going to do? The Lord's going to say, either here or you're not here. Enter in or not enter in. See, it's in your ballpark what you do with Christ today. See, today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the word for 2020? How are you going to live your life during 2020? 100%? That's a fairly good point. I'll tell you what God wants of you. He wants all of you. You bow your head, please. Have you just come and play coffee on the piano? Think about it for just a minute. You know, a lot of words in here, a lot of things I've said today. But the most important thing I've said to you is this. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is it? What is it? Do you know him? That's the bottom line. If you're here this morning, you don't have Christ in your life. I'll tell you right now, all you got to do is this. Purpose it in your heart. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my life is not what it should be. Forgive me of all my sins, all my failures and shortcomings. come in and live within me today. That I can leave this church in a better frame of mind and a new creature in Christ. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be flamboyant in your words or anything else. All you got to admit is who you are. A sinner. And saved by God's grace. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. For a time that we can come together and share Jesus. And for this, that wonderful love that you showed us through your word this morning. And sometimes I know the word is hard, but Father, we need to understand it. Sometimes we need to be reassured where we are. It's no difference each time we come together. Take this time and use it, Father, for those who do not have a personal relationship to truly make a change today. Maybe there are those in the church that would like to come, unite with that church today, whatever it may be. I pray, Father, to move on their hearts, that they will come do what you commanded them to do. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is 488. I surrender all this morning. 488. We stand together. Just remember, God gives you the opportunity right now to do what you need to do. I surrender all to him.